need to be called the insecure Christian. It can be called the insecure person that needs to be a Christian, because in this lesson you will learn that there are many ways that we are deceived in life. So recently, this past summer, we have noticed in the court systems approved gay marriage. And one of our former presidents spoke about this situation, President Carter. President Carter, during an interview, spoke about being a Bible teacher, how he regularly attended church. It was, I believe, a Baptist church. And that almost every time that he was there, he would preach or do some sort of a lesson. He would teach in some way. And one of the questions was, do you think Jesus would approve of gay marriage? And he said, I believe Jesus would approve of gay marriage. And right after that, he says, but I don't have any scripture to back that up. So this is coming from an individual that says they are a Christian. And this is not, this sermon's not about homosexuality. We've had sermons about that. But if you have to make an ignorant comment like that, that you have no scripture to back that up, then you shouldn't probably make that comment. Because what you're going to do is you're a president, and people looked up to you, or they look up to you now. So then they believe that what you're saying is correct. They think you're a smart individual. People trust in you. So then they're being deceived by believing that because of the comments that you have made. So this lesson, of course, is not just about other people deceiving you, because you can deceive yourself. So we're going to go through these lessons, this lesson, and hopefully you will learn something out of it and be able to apply it in your life. This is the main scripture you'll see in your bulletins that I've used at the very top. It's Deuteronomy 11:16. Take care lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And from the very beginning, we've noticed that, of course, the very first person to be deceived was Eve by Satan. In Genesis 3:1-6, it states, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the trees that is in the midst of the garden. Excuse me, or in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. So we see the very first deception right here was the serpent to Eve. And of course we can see, well, this the fruit on this tree was delight to her eyes. And in life, this is kind of how we are deceived. Things are wonderful. They look great on the outside. So why shouldn't we have a part of that? Of course, we shouldn't be that way. So what is insecurity and deception? Insecurity here is to lack confidence or trust, whether in ourselves or someone else. And to be deceived is to cause someone to believe something that is not true, typically in order to gain some sort of personal advantage. And insecurity, it's basically failure to fully trust in God, which leads to ignorance. And the original sermon I was going to come up with was about being ignorant as a Christian. And this is a sermon that I had heard in Kentucky, but as I'm studying ignorance, it really led me to insecurity and deception. So what does an insecure Christian look like? If you think about an insecure Christian, you might at first think, well, how is this possible? Because if we're Christians, how are we insecure? Because if we're true Christians, we believe in God, and there is security with God. But I say to you, since we live in this world, and sometimes, well, obviously we're all sinners, the only perfect person was Jesus, this sometimes makes us insecure because we see the world all the time in our life. And sometimes we don't look at the Bible all the time, so then we become deceived. So 1 Corinthians 3:18-23 says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. This point goes along with my opening comments about President Carter. Why are we trusting men, especially when God is the creator of wisdom? He is the smartest being. So ignorance. If you remember what I said before, ignorance is literally defined as lacking knowledge, information, or awareness about something in particular. So in Ephesians 4, it says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of hearts. So this is something that we obviously need to avoid, but it all comes down to we become ignorant because of our hardness of heart. So we need to not have hardness of heart, and that's kind of why this lesson is brought up. So why are we insecure? One of the reasons is, another reason I should say, is because of personal issues. You know, many people have identity crisis because they don't really know who they are, and they base their worth and value on things, on the wrong things, what they do, what they look like, who they know or what they know, or for instance, what they own. They don't think highly of themselves. They compare themselves to other people. They feel belittled if they can't do something or if they don't do something the right way. They also see the so-called perfect lives on TV and online. They assume everyone is like that. They go into social networks like Facebook and Instagram. And when you go into these networks, in general, people put only good, positive things. And on Instagram, there are filters on all of these pictures. So you don't actually see the picture. You're actually seeing filters before you see the image. So that's something to think about. So God doesn't care about the outside but your heart. And we see this in 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So these are personal issues for us that we need to be concerned with, are not the outside things, are not what people view us as, not our Facebook profile, Instagram, but instead on our heart. And in 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. We see here this is directed at people's appearance. You know, we train sometimes, we work out, we lift, we eat healthy, but these are not the things that, these are obviously are somewhat important because it does say that they provide some value. But when we are obsessed with it, I think this is when you get into trouble, because we need to realize that, yeah, it's good to be healthy now, but what about later? What about when we die, after we die? The important things are our spiritual lives, so that's what we need to focus on. Another reason why we feel insecure is because we don't feel loved. And I don't know about you, but this is something I heard growing up, and I still hear is, you know, people use the excuse, well, I no one ever told me that they loved me growing up, and that's why I turned out the way I did. And there might be some fact to that, but this is why they feel insecure. They feel insecure, and you know, it's the very first person they marry is the first person that said that they loved them, whether they loved them or not. And as a side note, you know, I think it is very important that you tell everyone around you that you love them, and don't forget to do that to your spouse and to your kids. But as a Christian, we need to stop looking on this earth for love. And let's read Ephesians 2:4. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. God loved us so much, even when we fail every single day, that he gave his son, so that grace we may be saved. And we see that also in 1 John 4. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Another reason why we feel insecure is because we listen to the wrong people. And this kind of goes with President Carter. We trust in the things that other people have to say. Some of my friends growing up as Christians, they were Christians before they went to college, and then somehow during college they listened to their professors over God. They listened to their friends around them instead of God. They saw a different value, so they liked them, and it's kind of like Eve. It looks fun and exciting, and it's different, so let's go ahead and do it, right? I'm not saying, parents, you should be afraid to send your kids to college either. But just make sure they're grounded before you do. But let's see what Psalm 1, verses 1 through 2 says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And another scripture is in 2 Timothy 4 and 3. For the time is coming when people will endure sound teaching. Not having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And we can see that this nowadays, if, you'll see kind of, I guess a church hopping is what it is. They'll go to many different churches until they see what seems good to them and what suits them best. And of course, this kind of goes along with anything in life as well. They listen to whoever is telling them that that's what they think too. So why are we insecure? Because we don't know God's word. In Mark 12 and 18 through 24, it says, And Sadducees came to him who say that there is no resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife, but leaves no child, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. There were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and when he died, left no offspring. The second took her and died, leaving no offspring, and the third likewise. And the seven left no offspring. Last of all, the woman also died. In the resurrection, when they rise again, whose wife will she be? For the seven had her as wife. Jesus said to them, Is this not the reason you are wrong? Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. So one of the reasons why we are insecure is because we don't know God's word. So we went over ignorance, personal issues, we don't feel loved, we listen to the wrong people, and of course we don't know God's word. So now this leads us into, well, how does insecurity actually lead to deception? And if you think about this, if we are not secure in our faith, you'll believe anything. You'll easily be deceived, and it's like anything in life. So I'm not a mechanic, I don't know much about cars, but if something's wrong with my car, I send it to a mechanic, the person that knows what they're supposed to be doing. And if he tells me, oh, you need a new car, you need a new engine, it's blown, well, I'm going to believe him because I have no idea. But when in actuality, I might just need a new tire. That was the noise I was hearing. So just realize, like in 2 Corinthians, but I am afraid that as a serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put on with it readily enough. So we need to realize there are people out there that are going to be somewhat like Jesus. And they're going to proclaim some of the things that Jesus has said in this book. And we are going to want to believe them because some of the things that they say are correct. And I say to you, even people on this pulpit might say things like that. I say everything I say, and Jason Harden would say the same thing. Anything he says, you should check for accuracy through the book. Okay? So that's just a side note I wanted to say. So who or what is deceiving us? First of all, I want to say ourselves. The very first person that deceives us is us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, usually we all know here that we have all sinned, but occasionally we might say, well, I don't sin as harsh as someone else. I never murdered someone. Well, a sin's a sin in the Bible. So even though this little white lie that I may have said, it's still a lie. And it doesn't matter. And I'm trying not to be harsh because everything I'm saying it to myself as well. So hopefully I don't come across that way. But also in Romans 10 and 3, For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. When we seek to establish our own ways, we think that we want to worship our own way, then we're not going after God's righteousness. We're not submitting to his righteousness. Who else can deceive us? Well, Satan, and we saw this earlier with Eve, in Revelation 12 and 9, it says, And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil, and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. He is actually classified as the deceiver of the entire world. We see in 1 Peter 5 and 8, Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Of course, we always have to be watchful, and I've already alluded to that earlier. So who or what else is deceiving us? Imposters or false prophets? In 2 Corinthians 11, 12 through 15, it says, "And what I am doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of the light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." So, imposters, false prophets, we've already talked about Satan, and Satan's mentioned here again in verse 14, but it's kind of interesting because it says, "And no wonder, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." I mean, that's not something that you'd think of, but we see it here. Again, imposters and false prophets, we see in Romans, "I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery they deceive the hearts of the naive." So these people are not, they don't care where you go, they don't care about you. They might say that they love you, but they actually don't, because the only person that they love is themselves, because as you see in verse 18, they only care about their own appetites and what goes into their bellies. Another one, this is the last slide for imposters here. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into this world." And again, this comes to anybody that stands in this pulpit, you should just double check with what they're saying is accurate, so that you may accurately handle the word of God. So who or what else is deceiving us? We see is sin. It actually says in Romans 7:11, "For sin, seizing the opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it, killed me." This is basically when we justify ourselves. When you do a sin, the first time, it's wrong. It feels wrong. But then the more times you do it, it's like, no, this is okay. And you justify it. You find some way to justify that this is okay to do. And we all know that this is wrong, but these are the things that are deceiving us. The reason why I bring up who or what is deceiving us is so we realize when we go out there in the world and we are trying not to be deceived, we can say, okay, what are the things that are trying to get us here? This is one of them. Riches, and this is a big one in the world right now. And Mark, it says, "And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." Of course, you can see the deceitfulness of riches. In this world, what makes people feel secure? And it's always money. But if you ever talk to people that have it, they still don't feel secure. So the answer is not money. So if I had all the money, though, I'd be able to pay all my bills and I won't have to worry about anything. But we need to stop worrying about the things in this world, because it's all very short term. It's a blink of an eye. It's gonna disappear. So these five things that we've talked about that can deceive us is ourselves, Satan, imposters, sin, and riches. So how are these individuals deceiving us? And I want to say through social issues, and this is brought up because at the very beginning of the lesson I talked about gay marriage being approved through the courts. And you can see lying, greed, homosexuality, evolution, idolatry, lust, and of course you can name quite a few on the list. But of course lying, you know, I talked about that earlier with the little white lie, it's okay as long as it's going to help somebody else and it's not going to hurt their feelings. Greed, just look at how people act on TV. I think of Shark Tank whenever I think of that. Evolution, our school systems and media. Idolatry, have you ever thought about football or any kind of sports? If you are completely obsessed where your heart and soul is just feels damaged when your team is losing or about to lose, and even gambling to that, you know, they try not to come across as gambling, but it is gambling. And then lust, the internet, TV, Ashley Madison, of course. We're all being numb to these situations, and I think that's what scares me the most, is because I've become numb as well to these situations, because you hear about them all the time, and it just kind of passes by. Just kind of goes in the ear and out the ear, in the eyesight and out, through every single TV show, has almost every single one of these all the time. And this is obviously a problem, and it bothers me, and this is something that we are being deceived by. So how else? Of course, social issues continue with that, is James 1. We see, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." And I say this because the majority of people that talk about social issues, they say, "Well, the Bible is a good reference," but that's all it is, just a reference. It was made for people 2,000 years ago, not for now. Because who cares, right? It's different. What does this verse say in the end of verse 17, though? It says, "Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." God doesn't change, folks. There's no change at all. There's no shadow due to change. What does that mean? Well, it's talking about the light. Talking about the sun. The sun's not going to change. It's still here. The sun was there 2,000 years ago, and guess what? It was sunny today. God doesn't change. Something else, too, we hear a lot is they want us to express our feelings. And this is kind of a rhetoric question. Why do we want to interject our feelings between a Christian and social views and what the Bible has to say? And this is something that I've been caught doing myself personally is, you know, I'll have certain feelings and I'll want to interject them into the Bible. So I did my own study this week about feelings. I looked up every single word with the word feel or feeling or some form of that, and not a single time did I find in the scriptures that it said somebody felt that this is what the scripture should have said or something along those lines. And that's something I needed to hear myself because we all have feelings. We're emotional beings. So let's see what Proverbs 28 says. "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered." So stop trusting in our own hearts and walk wisely. And of course, wisely is talking about the good book. And then how are they deceiving us? Again, it's because we don't know the word. We've alluded to this earlier as well. It says in 1 John, it says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous." And it's interesting, it says little children here, and I would assume that they're talking about the milk instead of solid food here. So it's if we're still consuming milk and we're not consuming solid food, then we don't know enough about the scriptures. So if they're practicing righteousness, these individuals are righteous and we should follow them. And then how do we overcome insecurity and prevent deception? So I made a list of, I think it's roughly 16 ways to overcome insecurity. There should be enough blank spots in there. We're just going to go through the list and you'll see a verse with every single one of these points. So the first thing is we need to look to God's word and trust in him. And these are all things, this is like the meat of the sermon as far as, well, how can I apply this to my life? In Proverbs 3 and 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Another verse is in John 7 and 17. "If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood." Again in Jeremiah 17, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds." You know, I think every generation you've heard this before has said this before about the current generation is, we were never like this growing up. We never grew up like this. It was never like this when I was a kid. And I think that every generation has said this, but we need to realize that sometimes that there are generations that go by that are very deceitful. And we need to trust in the Lord and be as this tree. Even when the heat comes, we don't need to fear. As long as we keep studying the word, we keep trusting in God's word and trusting in him, we will bear the good fruit. Another way is we need knowledge and wisdom. In 2 Peter 3, it says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." With knowledge, you stop using milk as a food source, and you instead start eating the good solid food. We do not need to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, we may be in this world, we have to live in this world, but that does not mean, like it says, we should not be conformed to it. But instead, we need to be here and be lights in this world. Another way we need to overcome insecurity and prevent deception is by encouraging one another. In Hebrews 3, it says, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." But exhort one another every single day. Every day that's called today, which of course is today. So encourage each other. This is something that we should do here, but not just here, but every single day. Whether it's with our spouse, or if we need to make a phone call or an email, this is something we need to do. And the reason why this helps prevent overcome insecurity is because it's going to help prevent deception. Because they're going to trust you because you are following after God's word. Because it says to exhort one another, encourage one another. We need to guard our own hearts. Deuteronomy 11:16, it says, "Take care lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." And we kind of talked about it this morning in the lesson. With work or with things at home, sometimes we're sidetracked instead of paying attention to the important things in the word. Another verse is 2 John verse 8. "Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what you have worked for, but may win a full reward." And we all know as we are going through life, if you've ever run a race, you always want to win. You may not be the best, but in this case, as long as we run the race, we're going to win. Another verse for the last verse for guard our hearts is 2 Peter 3. "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability." Another way is to practice righteousness. I've already mentioned this verse before, but it's a solid verse that needs to be stated, is whoever practices righteousness is righteous. So it's something that we should practice. I always thought it was interesting. This is a side point, is doctors still use the word, "I practice anesthesia," or whatever, for anesthesiologists. Why are they still practicing? They should be done practicing, right? To think about this from a Christian standpoint, if we're practicing righteousness, then there are situations that are happening in our life that are kind of shaky, that we're kind of unsure about. We need to look for the word for what we should do, for the solid food, and this will lead us to righteousness in the end. Always do good. This is an obvious one. But in Galatians 6 and verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." To think about this, it says always do good. Sometimes it's not that we're intentionally doing wrong, we're just not doing good either, and it's just because we're sidetracked with life. We need to rebuke, and as you can see by the underlying points here in verse 13, it says, "Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith." And in 16, "They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work." And they're speaking to Christians here, so we need to rebuke other Christians. And the reason why is so that they may be sound in faith. And the very next thing is correct your opponents. So these are individuals that are not Christians, so there's kind of a difference here. We need to correct his opponents with gentleness, and that's something that... I think sometimes as Christians, as personally, I have kind of hammered home, "Well, you do this, you know." I'm no better because I do some bad things as well. I sin as well. But we need to be gentle when we do this. And you can see if you go in verse 25, it continues and says, "God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth." So we need to be gentle so that God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. Be cautious, personally. Have nothing to do with the foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And of course, this kind of goes with some social issues. Remember, ignorance is defined as lacking knowledge, information, or awareness about something in particular. So if people on the outside world think that certain things are okay to do, they're ignorant because they just don't know. They don't know what's right, and that's where we need to step in and prevent that deception any further. We need to walk in the light. Think of this as think of this world as night all the time. And if we were always in the nighttime, we'd always have a flashlight around. Why do we carry a flashlight? It's because we want to feel secure, so we have some light. And there's a reason why the light's always used in the scripture, is because the light shines on everything and makes it visible so we can feel secure. In John 1, verse 5 through 8, it says, "This is a message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." We need to be a doer and not a hearer only. In James 1, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." We need to remember that all scripture is God-breathed. You might ask yourself, well, is the scriptures factual? How do we know that God wrote the book? Of course, faith is a component of this, but it says right here in 2 Timothy, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Of course, we need to heed instruction. As we see in Proverbs 10:17, "Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray." How often do we go online and look up YouTube videos of how to do certain things? Or we call our in-laws or our fathers up and ask them how to do things. We don't do that because we don't want to haphazardly do something and then realize we're going to have to spend 3 more hours working on it because we messed up the first time. So heed instruction. Of course, put the whole armor of God on. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over his present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare and boldly as I ought to speak." We see in verse 12 here, this is not a physical fight that we are in. This is an emotional, a spiritual one over our minds. We need to stop looking for the physical fight and instead open our eyes and realize this is a spiritual fight. So stop being deceived by social issues, because the social issues are the non-physical fight. It's the emotional and spiritual issues. Prayer. Anytime you have a list like this, you have to say prayer. In James 1 and 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." Ask God for wisdom. Ask him for security. Ask him that you will not be deceived, and ask him that you will not deceive other individuals. And then remember, God is love. Anyone who does not know God because God is love. We talked about love earlier, but I spoke about the reasons why we feel insecure is because we are not loved, or we weren't loved growing up. And I said before, we need to stop looking for love here on this earth, and we can see that God's love, so this is who we need to feel loved by. And in closing remarks here, we went over these 17 things. We need to look to God's word and trust him to gain knowledge and wisdom, to encourage one another, guard our hearts, practice righteousness, always do good, rebuke and correct, be cautious, walk in light, be a doer. All scripture is God-breathed, heed instructions, put on the whole armor of God, always pray, and remember that God is love. In John 8 and 31 through 32, it says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" The only way to truly feel secure is and to be free is to know the truth. And Jesus is the truth. And to leave you with Deuteronomy again, 11:16, "Take care lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." So don't be an insecure Christian. And this is not, of course, only for Christians. This is for individuals that aren't Christians. Don't be insecure. You know how to be secure now, and that's by following after God, because God is love. If you are not a Christian, there's an opportunity that you have right now that we can baptize you behind me. If you are a Christian and you have been failing in life, we all have at some point, and sometimes we need the prayers of the local congregation here. This is the opportunity that you have. Please come forward as we stand and sing.